You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dave Benton here with Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer. We will talk plenty of Michigan State football today, the spring game later today at Spartan Stadium. Joe Rexroad will be with us from the Lansing State Journal at 10:30 talking about everything Spartans. Also talk plenty of Tigers and Red Wings as this show goes along. But we're talking NFL draft right now, expanding outside of the Detroit Lions at this point. And Scott, I've come to a conclusion after this first couple of rounds of the NFL draft, because it was such a peculiar, especially first round, of where the media expected that players were valued at and where the NFL expected that players were valued at. And I've just come to the conclusion that we don't know what the hell we're talking about, and that NFL front offices laugh at people like Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and just say, you guys don't know what the hell you're talking about. Because after pick five of the first round, it was helter-skelter the whole rest of the way. And guys that the experts thought were highly valued, and I won't call us experts. Did we guess who we thought would go places? Did we say who we liked and didn't like? Yeah, but at the same time, neither of us would ever mistake ourselves for experts in this situation. It's all more fun than anything for us and educated guesses. But the experts had certain players going certain places, and clearly among the NFL, that was not the feeling at all.
Well, it's so funny because the experts, we can call them experts because that's their job.
This is all they do.
That's all that Todd McShay and Mel Kiper and Peter King and everybody, every organization has their NFL insider, their NFL expert, where that's their job to talk to all the teams, talk to the prospects. And granted, some GMs probably do play games with them, saying, yeah, we really like this guy, because they want Peter King to say everybody's taking Andy Dalton. Maybe that was the case. He honestly thought that every team wanted him. But it's so funny because we just do it from pure speculation.
Yes.
Of it looks like that's what the team needs. We weren't in any meetings. I was at one pro day, and that was Michigan State's pro day. And let me tell you, there's
a lot of talent going on in that pro day.
Exactly. I was not at the combine. I haven't interviewed anybody else. I haven't talked to any coaches. And it's just funny because now we still have opinions, and I'd like to see what Christian Ponder can do. I don't think he's going to be any good. We talked about it last week. We don't think any quarterbacks are going to be any good. But guys, when you're drafted number 12, you surprise everybody. Or Jake Locker drafted by the Titans in the top 10. It does surprise everybody. But then again, we don't know. It's not fair, and obviously, it's so tough to grade the draft until like 4 years from now. But there's guys where I have a feeling like Alden Smith won't ever do anything for the 49ers.
This is where I evaluate drafts. Because like I said before, I don't like to evaluate the players per se because I don't know. Scouts that get paid $100,000 to do this types of stuff, they know. I don't know.
Usually.
But here's what I do know. I understand that the draft is as much about knowing what the other teams around you evaluate players as compared to what you evaluate players as. And I have a hard time believing that somebody thought Christian Ponder was a first-round talent quarterback. And so to look at Minnesota Vikings, grab him at 12. Now, I realize nobody wanted to trade up because at this point in the draft, I don't think St. Louis knew that Detroit was going to take Nick Fairley, because I think St. Louis would have taken Nick Fairley in a heartbeat at 14. They needed a defensive tackle bad. And to watch him fall all the way to 13 probably made them pretty excited. But outside of Nick Fairley, there was nobody at 12 worth trading up for. And so I understood that Minnesota didn't trade down. But to look at Christian Ponder and say, I don't think we can get him in the second round, it, to me, is a little peculiar. I think it's a little bit odd. Do they need a quarterback? Yeah. Is Christian Ponder the future? I'm not sure about that. However, I definitely know that at number 12, Christian Ponder should not have been. However, there are picks that the experts looked at that I sit and wonder, I don't think they got it right. For example, New England picking offensive tackle Nate Solder from Colorado. Everybody calls this guy a bust. This is the New England Patriots we're talking about here. And if the New England Patriots evaluate an offensive tackle and take him at 17, that tells me that they value him and that they looked at him and saw something different than what the experts picked.
It goes against everything the Patriots do. You can look at their offensive line and it's
which
full of guys.
Which is why I question whether he's actually a bust.
Well, I wouldn't label him as a bust as much as he's known to be a project. And granted, New England's the best place to go for a project player. Look at Ryan Mallett. But it just goes against everything they do where they always trade down and just find somebody. They're somebody. If they had only picks left in the fifth and seventh round, I would say yes, they will find their next starting corner and outside linebacker with those picks. But to take somebody like that who's all upside, it's something that they haven't done. And granted, I don't ever doubt what the New England Patriots do. But it's just different for them because this guy is kind of known to be a player who's not quite ready, whereas what they normally do is find somebody nobody knows about who's ready to play.
Let me ask you something. If you're the Atlanta Hawks front or the Atlanta Falcons front office.
Great win over the Magic.
Yeah, I know. 2 years from now, somebody calls you up and says, hey, we'll offer you this year's first-round pick, next year's first-round pick, this year's second-round pick, this year's fourth-round pick, and next year's fourth-round pick, and all you have to do is give us Julio Jones. Would you take that pick?
No, because I know the value of a decent wide receiver into his career is a fifth-round pick, i.e. Randy Moss. But I get where you're going with that.
Unbelievable. I like Julio Jones. If he had fell to 13, that would have been the only receiver in the draft I would have been okay with the Lions taking. I like him a lot. But Julio Jones is not worth that much at that pick. The Atlanta Falcons, who already have Roddy White, don't need another wide receiver that badly. They're in. Now, I realize that they're already a good team, and I realize that they felt like after that Green Bay game that they needed to upgrade their offense, that Michael Turner, Matt Ryan, and Roddy White were not enough on their own to get to that next level. But to trade up that high and spend that amount to get this guy, he better be better than Roddy White. Because at this point, Julio Jones, even if he's a subpar receiver, that's even if he's mediocre, that's a gigantic, colossal failure on the Atlanta Falcons' part. Because they flat out gave away part of their future. What if they have defensive needs next year? Not going to happen. What if they have defensive needs this year that they needed to cover? They must be very happy with their entire team if they were willing to trade up that far just to get Julio Jones. Because to think about all that you give up for one guy that hasn't played an NFL down yet, that is an expensive price to play. And the only person who was okay with it was probably Mike Ditka.
Because of Ricky Williams.
Yes.
Well, that just throws me off everything with that reference.
Sorry.
But they are in a position. They're one of the teams that is in a position to be able to do that.
But I don't think anybody's in a position to do that.
But if anybody's there, there's like maybe three, four teams that have the depth, the full team spectrum to be able to give up picks and to be okay to get one piece.
Two first rounds, a second round, and two fourth rounds?
Well, swapping first rounds, not giving up completely, but
it's enough. It's enough. Okay, they gave up a lot for him. Me, personally, I don't think I'd do it. Another pick I want to talk about, and then we'll go to break and we'll talk more about the draft. I think the Carolina Panthers got absolutely bullied into taking Cam Newton. And I know how you feel about Cam Newton. When I look at Cam Newton, and I'm going to let you rant on him in a second, Scott. Cam Newton is third-round talent that got picked first overall because, frankly, there's an illusion that he could be a game-changer. Here's what I want to have happen for Carolina this year, because it's been said that they're going to start with Jimmy Clausen and then at some point go to Cam Newton. I hope Jimmy Clausen goes for 12 touchdowns and 2 interceptions in his first 6 starts of the season. and they look at it and they go, why is Jimmy Clausen playing so well? And then they say, oh, D'Angelo Williams was hurt last year. Jonathan Stewart was hurt last year. We had no good offensive linemen, and Steve Smith was hurt last year. Son of a gun. He had absolutely nothing to play with last year, and we totally hung him out to dry, and now we just wasted a pick on Cam Newton. That's what I'm hoping happens, because to get bullied into a pick like this when you already wasted a second-round pick the year before on your quote-unquote quarterback of the future, who got a raw deal, got the crap kicked out of him for a year under no protection and no talent to throw to, and now you're going to go to Cam Newton? I hope this backfires in Carolina's face. They totally deserve it.
Cam Newton is a swindler. Bottom line, that is his style. Yeah, I don't care if he was never convicted of anything. You can look into the history of what he's done. He, and this is all speculative, he supposedly cheated at Florida, stole laptops.
It's not speculative.
Right. It happened. This is what happened. It's allegations, whatever. His dad wanted to get money from pretty much every school, and we'll never find out more about that. But look into everything that's happened with him. He has a history. Then go into his fake personality, his smile, and yes, I'm going to rip him apart for that. He is fake, and every time I see him, he has the wrong answers. And when he's talking, even whether it be with John Gruden, not being able to call a play in the QB camp, whether it be in any sort of interview talking about himself, then I find out the NFL draft, there is absolutely no sponsorship for any of these players. They can sign deals already, and Cam Newton and others have with Under Armour, with Nike, Reebok. Cam Newton is an Under Armour client. That's fine. You can do that. But there's no sponsorship at the draft, and he shows up with an Under Armour pin on his lapel, fully knowing that the rules state you can't do that, and he's trying to pull one over, getting paid by Under Armour to have that. And he was on for part of it, and then finally they caught him and told him, you have to take that off. He agreed and probably played the ignorance card of, oh, I didn't know. When else did we hear Cam Newton said, I didn't know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's was when his dad was supposedly asking for $180,000 from Mississippi State. This is a guy who I wouldn't trust with anything. And to give him the first pick and to have to give him what, depending on how the CBA works out and if there's a slot system for picks, give him a guaranteed $40 million, no way I would ever do that with this kid.
The Carolina Panthers have so many, and I'm not going to add to that. I think you just hit it right on the head there. Carolina Panthers have so many needs at this point. Okay, they were the worst team in the NFL last year. And to decide that you're going to give up on your future quarterback after 1 year and go with Cam Newton, a guy that we have no clue if he can hang in an NFL offense. Okay, what is the difference besides mechanics? What is the difference between Tim Tebow's college career and Cam Newton's college career? What's the difference?
Tim Tebow did it for longer.
Right, but I'm just saying, you're in a run-first, pass-second offense, you win a national championship, you know more for your intangibles than you are for your actual passing ability, yet Tim Tebow, yes, he went in the first round, should have gone in the third or fourth round, and Cam Newton's the number one overall pick. Here's another point that I want to get to, and I think we'll roll this over into the break, and we can get into this in the next segment. Character issues. What exactly makes a character issue? What exactly makes it so that Ryan Mallett is a character issue, yet Cam Newton is not? We'll talk about that next. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.